Welcome to the SuperOffice podcast. I'm your host, Hans Christian Grønslet, and today we have a very special guest joining us. Stephen McDonnell is an expert in digital marketing, and he's here to share his incredible knowledge and experience with us. Are you looking to establish yourself as an expert in your field on LinkedIn? Or perhaps you're interested in improving your company's social media presence to win more deals? If so, you're in the right place today. Stephen is going to share his five-step framework for building revenue on LinkedIn, and I'm excited to hear all about it. Make sure you grab a pen and paper or listen closely, because there are going to be a lot of practical tips you'll want to remember. I'm personally very interested in learning more about how to establish myself as an expert, and I'm sure many of you are as well. So, with further ado, let's dive in. Here is Stephen. Clicked the record button. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the SuperOffice podcast. And today, as always, I think we have an exciting topic. But today, I have a specifically exciting guest with me. And I'd like to welcome you, Stephen McDonnell. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's you've been on my list, my wish list for some time, I must say, because you are one of the thought leaders and most skilled person I know in this area of digital marketing. And you've been working with SuperOffice for many years, actually.
Yeah, close to 10 years.
10 years, yeah. And for those who follow you on LinkedIn, you can see that you've been there, but you also have presented a lot of case studies on how to build a digital reach. And to me, you are a practical guy, right? So you talk and you preach and you do the stuff that you you talk about. And it to me, it sounds easy. I know this topic is not easy at all, but everything sounds easy when you know it.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm really happy to have you on the show here. And daily, you work as a content manager content manager at Inevo.
Correct. Yeah.
Which is a digital company, marketing company.
Digital marketing agency. Yeah.
Yeah.
Primarily, it's dealing with Nordic e-commerce stores.
Yeah.
But about a year and a half ago, we opened up a new department to focus on content marketing, SEO, and dealing more with B2B SaaS companies.
Yeah, and that's where also your experience fits in with working with SuperOffice for a long time, creating content which is informative and useful to you learn from it. And of course, that's also part of getting more attention to SuperOffice as a thought leader and a CRM provider as well. But let's start. I must say that give kudos to your friends in your company, Even. I think there are two guys, Even and
Eivind.
Yeah, and they have a podcast called The Marketing Podcast or something.
Yeah,
and they had an interview. Actually, they have a couple of interviews with you, so it's worth listening to. And one of the things, the story you told about was this 5-step process to get your revenue increased through social selling.
Right.
Yeah, and social selling has been on everybody's lips for a long time. I think a lot of people have tried it and stopped and tried and stopped and tried different angles. And everybody says it's so easy if you want to build revenue going on LinkedIn and really establishing yourself as a thought leader. But in practice, it isn't that easy. So there are some roadblocks, but that's the topic for today.
Yeah.
So let's go very quick. Your background on why this 5-step process came along. What's what made you think of that idea?
Sure. So I'm going to rewind a few years back, because I started posting on LinkedIn the same way that most people started posting on LinkedIn, which is just to take existing content from a website and just share a link. And it didn't work, right? Like maybe the first few times you do it, you get some engagement and some kind of traction, but very quickly that stops. It started off with me posting, I think it was blog posts from the SuperOffice blog to be, yeah, I think that's the case. That's what I was doing. Taking blog content, sharing it on LinkedIn and just hoping, you know, for some kind of traffic back to the blog. But then I came across, and this is probably now around early 2020, so just before the pandemic, I came across a quote from Gary Vaynerchuk, which was, start posting content that you want to be known for. And that was interesting to me because I thought, when I scroll through my post activity on LinkedIn, it was customer journey, sales process, customer service, all topics related to SuperOffice very well. You know, it's like 100% in exactly in line with what SuperOffice does. But I thought, what do I want to be known for, me personally? And it wasn't that. It was more along the lines of SEO content and using those channels to drive business. So that was my first kind of aha moment. During this time, I thought, I'm going to build an email list. So I started basically building an email list just for myself and sending weekly emails. And I was then taking that content, which was again in what I wanted to be known for, content and SEO, copying it and pasting it into LinkedIn. That was my plan for the, or my approach for probably the first 3 to 4 months, just copying content and pasting it.
Yeah, from the newsletter.
From the newsletter, yeah.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, it worked a little bit in the beginning and then didn't. And then I realized I needed to switch the content, you know, like basically I needed to optimize the content for the platform as opposed to just copying and pasting it.
Yeah.
And then I found very quickly that I was spending more time optimizing the content for LinkedIn than I was creating the content for the newsletter. And that's when I started seeing things really take off. So I posted like this for a year straight, twice a week. Monday and Wednesday, creating basically original content for LinkedIn. And
on the topics that you wanted to be known for.
On the topics that I want to be known for, yeah.
Yeah.
And then got to May 2021, and this was quite successful. I think I generated 1 million views on LinkedIn for my content in that time, 12 months. And I thought, I'm going to take a break. I could start seeing my audience being a little bit fatigued. You know, I'm showing up every week. I'm commenting. I'm posting content. And that break was originally going to be 2 to 3 months. It ended up being a year and a half. Long break. And in that time, while I was away, I started thinking about, if I was to do this again, what would I do different? And that's where this five-step process came into play. Because a couple of things I was doing already, just intuitively, like having goals, finding my ex, and so on. We'll get into the more specific goals in a second. More specific steps. And that allowed me then to just reset and think, okay, I'm going to do this again. Let's do it right. And when I started posting again in October last year, my first post after being away from the platform in over a year and a half was my best performing post ever, which was 175,000 views.
Yeah, and then you've been gone from the platform for a year, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And that also gave me some information too, which was people think you are trapped on these platforms. Once you start, you know, you have to show up every day and post content. And if you don't and you take a break and come back, your post will be negatively impacted. What I saw was the opposite. I got my best performing post ever after taking a long break. So again, that was information of like, wow, okay, so now I know I can post content, I can run programs on LinkedIn, not have to, you know, not commit every single day for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Right? People get scared. When you start posting content every day and after 3 months you think, oh, I really need a break, then you start putting out just content for the sake of it, not because you want to or not because you have something to say. And then October last year, just prior to that, I set up this framework and I brought on the team at Enevo to help roll out with me as well.
Yeah. So so you took your own medicine right. And then experimented with your colleagues. And that's the process we're going to discuss now, the five steps.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right.
The key thing as well is experimentation, right? And trying new things and not being afraid to fail. Ultimately, you may think that your audience cares about you on LinkedIn, but really they don't. You know, if you go a few weeks without posting, they're not really going to cry. That one or two people might contact you and say, hey, I haven't seen your post lately. Everything okay? But for the most part, they'll just move on and find someone else's content to like.
Well, didn't anybody miss you this year you were gone, Stephen?
At the beginning, I think I got three messages on LinkedIn saying, hey, Stephen, where are you? Everything okay? And at that stage, I had 8,000 followers. So of 8,000 people who followed me, only three people cared.
Well, that says something too. But people are busy with their own stuff, basically. Right. But what you also said is that before we go into it, you don't need to be afraid of failing. You know,
right.
I think that's one of the key hurdles that I pick up from my colleagues as well. Is you know, you don't think you have something to on your mind, and you're afraid of doing the wrong thing. So you can say that that's nothing to be afraid of, right?
For sure, for sure. Yeah. I think it's John Kavanagh, who is the coach for the UFC fighter Conor McGregor, who has a book along the lines of you either win or you learn.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's probably some old kind of like quote or saying, but it's true. If you go in with it in the case of, you know, you, especially when it comes to LinkedIn, posting content, you're just getting information back. It's not failing. If you go with an experimentational mindset, growth mindset.
Yep.
It's try something, learn from it, and then apply it or scale it out.
Yeah. So what's the number one here in the process?
So let's go through the five steps. So the first is probably one of the most important for me, because I've seen people try posting content on LinkedIn and giving up very quickly, is to have a goal. Mm. Right? Having a goal is the most important, because it's that reminder that every time you think, I'm not going to post today, you can think, hang on, no, I do have a goal. I'm trying to reach it. That's going to be the extra motivation to kick you into gear and say, okay, yes, I'm going to set aside time and do this. Because I know if I do this week in, week out, over the long term, I will reach my goals.
Yeah. So, now, so what is a goal? Is it revenue in the end, or is it a number of posts?
So I would say the revenue would be the goal. Number of posts is just the tactic, right? Or the
cadence. Yeah.
For me, when I first started out in my first year, one of my goals was to show how to do social selling. And I'm using air quotes. I'll explain that later in a second. Right. And I say right is because when I see social selling, or I hear social selling, a lot of times it means this. People go into LinkedIn, they find accounts, they use some automation tool, and send 5,000 requests every week to new connections within their ICP, and hope one or two react and start a conversation.
Yeah.
And that's just, for me, social spamming.
Mm.
It's the same with email. You buy a list and you send a bunch of emails and you hope someone responds.
Yeah.
So what I wanted to do is prove that if you really prioritize value in the content that you share over chasing number of connection requests that people that fit with your ICP, that you produce content week in, week out, that is high quality, that is valuable, people will then reach out to you and ask, you know, can we, you know, book a meeting? So instead of you chasing leads, leads chase you. That's what I was looking for. I was wanting to create demand for myself. So that was one of the goals. Another of my goal was to be recognized as one of the best marketers in Estonia. And some of these goals you can measure, like, for example, showing that or proving that the way I do social selling right works. I can prove that because I've got so many DMs in my inbox. Hey, Stephen, love your content. Hey, Stephen, I see you're posting on content on LinkedIn. Can we book a meeting? You know, things like that. But I could see the number of inbound requests was growing compared to the time when I didn't. But how do I prove that I'm recognized as Estonia's best marketer? Like, that's very subjective. And a couple of things I looked out for were people shouting out my content on LinkedIn saying, hey, these X number of people are posting really good content. Please follow them. And I would find that of all the people listed, I was the only one in Europe. Most of them were in the US. So that was one kind of thing I thought, okay, that's one way to gauge, am I reaching my goal? Because more people are saying, follow this person. Another was I was nominated for an award in the Baltics. Again, I thought, okay, well, that's another indicator that what I'm doing is working. And some might just be really fluffy that you can never actually measure, but it's just within your heart or your mind that you think, I want to achieve this.
These are high goals, you know, for a normal salesperson. They have a pipeline that they need to generate and close quarter by quarter. What is a typical goal that could be practical for a normal salesperson?
I think the interesting thing about a salesperson doing this is I've now run a program like this using the five steps with four different companies. And I also have spoken with people who are considered experts on LinkedIn too that do similar things. It takes at least 6 months before you really start to see some traction on LinkedIn. And when I mean when I say traction, I'm specifically talking about companies reaching out to you and saying, hey, can we talk?
Yeah.
So, but again, it's when I'm setting my goals for LinkedIn, it's not goals within the next 2 months or 3 months, like sales targets. Right. It's can I do in the next 12 or 18 months? Big goals for sure, but also big timelines.
Yeah.
So applying that to sales, it might be, I want to hit X revenue from LinkedIn within 12 months, but then breaking that down into different quarters. So the first quarter might not be a revenue number at all. It might just be publishing content, getting into that habit. It might be connecting with a specific number of people just to get that ball rolling.
I see. Because in the end, it's a long game. And I also think that you're not on LinkedIn if you're looking for short-term gains, really, right?
Right.
And I guess that's where a lot of people fall off in the beginning, because you start out fresh, come on a Monday, and then you have a good plan, and then it doesn't do anything, and it just you're caught in this, all the other things that you need to do, and then this is down prioritized most likely.
Right. Yeah. It's that's one of the things too, is people in the beginning, of course, when they try something new, they're super excited. Motivation is high, enthusiastic, and 2 weeks later, they're like, okay, I've not sold anything. And then slowly but surely, they start defaulting on what they know best, which is, I'll go back to cold calling or cold emails. Instead of thinking, okay, how do I, A, give this a little room to breathe? I'm just getting started on a platform with 800 million users. What am I expecting? No, that's a reality check. That's why having a big goals but long-term goals is important. Because you're not going to reach superstar status on LinkedIn within a month, having done nothing beforehand.
Yeah. So we have a long-term and some short-term goals, I guess. But is it a good way to publish it to your colleagues?
In what way?
Tell somebody about your goals.
The goals. That's interesting. So when I did it on my own, I kept my goals private. But it was mostly because no one talked about LinkedIn in the beginning.
Nobody asked.
Nobody asked. But when I did this with the group at Inevo, we had a very similar goal for all of us, which was to become known as the best expert within our field. So it was very transparent. Again, how do you measure that? Well, we put up a few things. We said, do we start getting direct messages, people saying, hey, I want to hire Inevo for this specific field, pay-per-click, SEO, and so on. Events, where we get invited to speak at events or attend speak on podcasts, things like this. So we wanted to see that come in and start seeing demand for people that otherwise weren't getting those kind of invites.
Yeah, and if you are a salesperson or a consultant, you have a skill set and you have a set of valuable knowledge that you, of course, you sell it to your customers, and it's all about building that trust.
Right.
Because you do that anyway, so this is natural. You close deals and you build your pipeline, but now you need to sort of convert this into a platform where more people can see what you're doing, right?
Right. Yeah. It's to use the ABM terminology, it's, you know, it's not no longer one-to-one, which would happen in the meetings or on customer calls. It's now one-to-many.
Yeah. ABM, account-based marketing, which I guess we'll cover a little bit. Okay, so that's the goal. And okay. Sounds fair.
Yes. So you have a goal. Great.
Yeah.
Step two. And this ties exactly with the comment I mentioned earlier from Gary Vaynerchuk. It's about posting content, what you want to be known for. But I call this step two, find your X. Okay. Now your X is your expertise. What are you good at? Where can you look at and say, I have a lot of experience in this field, right? What topic comes to mind? What have you spent the last X number of years working on? What can you show results from? Right, another question to ask yourself. And one of my favorite ways to get a gut instinct reaction to this question is if I said to you, tomorrow, I want you to present a 2-hour workshop on any topic you like, what would you choose? The first thing that comes to mind is usually your ex, right? For example, if you were to ask me that question, I would say content and SEO, or now LinkedIn. I wouldn't say car mechanics, because I know nothing about it.
No.
Right.
But where do you, because a lot of people have a lot of passion for hobbies, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, they're into wine or golf or tennis or music or musical, you know, so they can easily hold stuff 2 hours for that. But of course you're related to your field of business, right?
Right. For sure. Yeah. I think, you know, if you're going to be, you know, remember as well, when you start creating content for LinkedIn and you start using it to drive business results, it is a job, right? Or it's part of your job. Sure, it's nice and it's fun and it's great to get that engagement. But at the same time, you know, it does become a job in itself. You're creating content, you're connecting, you're taking meetings and so on. So yes, by all means, if you love golf and you play a lot of golf on the weekends, you can post about that. You're probably not going to be able to sell much of that service unless you're a really good golf instructor.
Yeah, then it would be perfect. Yeah. No, I see that point. I really like the pitch there, because if you don't have to prepare, that's what you're saying. If you don't have to prepare, you know what you're dealing with. And, you know, if you're in sales, which is this podcast is all about, really, is you can maybe look at your last 5 closed deals, you know? Right. What was the reason you closed it? What was the competence you shared with them? That which processes did you want to help them solve? You know, you have a lot of stuff that you can look into, because you don't have to think about this if you or learn something. You have the trade unless you're brand new to a company.
For sure. Yeah. And I think that's key. One of the things I said to the team at Enevo was, the reason why you choose a topic that you know a lot about, that you know in depth, is because if you have a post that does really well, and let's say you have 100 comments, and they're all asking follow-up questions to your post, you don't want to be Googling those questions trying to find an answer because you don't know the topic enough. Yeah. You want to be able to be like, snap, you know, go through these comments very quickly because you know the answers.
You want to be a panelist in a talk show, right?
Keep going, just go fire through them. And just going back to your comment then about sales, and I love this, because think about, you just gave a few examples, right? The closed deals. But when you break it down, now it creates multiple different angles. So with sales, you can talk about sales process for sure. Talk about negotiating, right? You can talk about psychology and people, because that's what sales is, right? Looking at how do you react when you see someone's reaction to price, for example, right? How do you follow up with that? How do you negotiate when someone comes back and wants 25% discount? It's all these things. And ultimately, it's just telling stories through what you've experienced in the last few weeks, months, years, whatever that may be.
Yeah. And if you are an active person doing this, you are in meetings, like many meetings a week.
Right.
And it's about having a mindset. This, what did I learn from this, and how can I sort of talk about it? It doesn't have to be a long post, right?
Right.
It just needs to be, you take the pulse of something, and you and it has to be on a topic or an area, like you say, this is what I want to be known for.
Yeah. And being laser focused on that too.
But that's a tricky my or difficult, because what is laser focus? Because sometimes you talk to a customer who's interested in marketing, for instance,
Sure.
and the other meeting, because now when you sell to businesses, right, you're not talking to CEO anymore. You're
Sure.
talking to a buying committee. The CRO has one angle, one pain points, one set of their own goals, and then you have the CFO has another set. So there's a multitude of angles. And if you
Sure.
want to be known for everything, it's hard to choose. Or can you mix this into business? How to
Right.
develop a business?
Yeah. So one of the things I do on LinkedIn is when I share content is I never disclose the company I work with in a case study. And there's two reasons. One is because otherwise I'd have to get them to sign off on every single LinkedIn post I share, and that'll just slow me down. Two is that I can then just bring it up on a higher level. It's more about just this is a company. It doesn't really matter at this stage what they do, how they do it, who they do it for. It's about here's a process that worked. And if you think it's relevant and you can apply it to your business, great, give it a try. You might see some similar results. So
So
it's
you're
definitely looking.
generalizing it into processes and
Yeah,
values, sort of.
right, exactly.
So but that's a skill that needs to be trained as well, because and how do you do that? Because just publishing it might go out wrong. Do you test it with somebody before you publish it, or do you just go for it and then you build on to it and it becomes another story down the line?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's this is one of the things that I've realized as well later on is the skill aspect of it is well, for one is first I've written and published 300-400 blog posts, right, prior to publishing content on LinkedIn. So I have a good understanding of what makes good content. The reason for that is when I create content in blog format, people leave comments below. So I know when I create content, I can create some kind of engagement. Now I'm just mirroring that process on LinkedIn, but in a much smaller and shorter format. Then it's about taking a story and just slicing it up in multiple ways, but then getting super specific on each section. So, for example, let's say I can talk about a very high-level SEO strategy to help one company generate millions of visits over the course of a few years. That's one story. But then I can break it down to, well, what triggered the increase in visits? Was it a specific post? Okay, drill down on that. That's another post. How did I was able to leverage this part of that strategy? Okay, now let's drill down on that specific part and just breaking it down and breaking it down. So yeah, but it's again practice. It's practice. Now I've probably created and published 150 LinkedIn posts. So it's when I see there's some kind of reaction, strong reaction in one way, I will then lean into that a little bit more. So here's a good example. Recently, I was posting the same kind of content I usually do, case studies on SEO and content marketing. For the first 8 posts this year, I averaged around 150,000 impressions per post. It was consistent, and I was like, wow, I feel like this is an unlock. All of a sudden, LinkedIn is giving me a lot of love. And then it dropped to 50,000 for one post, and then to 30,000 the next post. Now, 30,000 impressions is still a lot of impressions, but compared to where I was going, where I was coming from, big drop. So I shifted. I started talking about freelance writing and what makes a good freelance writer and what makes the best freelance writer and mistakes they make. And all of a sudden, my post shot up again, 250,000, 200,000 impressions. I didn't plan for that. I didn't have a big, grand scheme and think, by March 2023, I'm going to talk about freelance writing. It's just the nature it went. But because I have a lot of experience in writing in general, I can talk about that. Now, I will go back into SEO and content at some point. But it's again, it's like now just going with the flow.
Going with the flow. What about, you mentioned that you run this program, the 5-step process for companies, and they're not the content writers that you are. So
Right.
where do they start? Have they found their X factor
Yeah,
and
yeah.
their experience, and then they're started to build small?
Right. So I always say that the fifth part of the framework is publish content, not the first part.
No.
because you need to go through the other steps first to really understand what it is you want to talk about.
Yeah.
I'll get to the fifth step a bit later on when we get there.
Yeah.
But
you know, I'm an impatient guy.
For sure.
Yeah.
But absolutely. In order, before you start creating your own content, you need to understand your goals and what your expertise is, because that makes everything else much easier.
Yeah. So then we're on to step three. That was connect, right?
Connect with people that buy from you. I mean, ultimately, you're trying to...
Thank you for tuning in to the SuperOffice podcast. I hope you found our mini-series on how to generate revenue on LinkedIn to be informative and practical. This was part one, so go on to part two and three very shortly. Remember, if you've missed any part of the series, you can always go back and listen again. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast in your favorite podcast reader so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed this series, please tell a friend about us. If you have any questions or suggestions for future topics or guests, please don't hesitate to reach out to us at hc@superoffice.com. Thanks again for listening, and stay tuned for part two of our mini-series with Stephen McDonald and myself.